But, what about the Buddha's teaching of anatta? Someone may put this question. Did the Buddha not state categorically that there is no self? Many people, I'm sure, are under that impression. So let us, before we close, devote just a few minutes to this question. I remember that when I was in India many years ago, when I was studying Pali and Abhidhamma and Buddhist logic in Benares, one of my teachers there used to be very fond of pointing out that the word anatta, Sanskrit anatman, is a compound word. It's made up of two parts. It's made up of the word atta or atma, usually translated as self, and it's made up of the negative prefix an, anatta, anatma. And this teacher used further to point out, and this was a point that he very much insisted on, he used to point out that if one wanted to understand the meaning of anatma, or anatta, non-self, or no self, one could do so only after having understood the meaning of atta, or atma. This might appear obvious, but it wasn't apparently obvious to everybody, not everybody that he had met anyway. In other words, you cannot understand what is meant by anatma or anatta unless you know what particular conception of the self it is which is being negated. It's clear from the contexts, the various contexts, in which the word anatta or anatma occurs in the Buddhist scriptures, that the Buddha was concerned to negate the contemporary idea, the contemporary Brahminical idea of a permanent unchanging self. He was concerned to negate this idea. He did not teach that no self whatsoever exists, did not teach that our experience of ourselves is a complete and utter delusion, that we aren't really here at all, we just think that we are, and that the thought itself was a delusion. He taught that the self, the empirical self, the psyche, does exist, but that it is constantly changing. And it's because it is changing that it can evolve, develop, grow. Therefore, we may say that the purpose of his teaching, the teaching of anatta, literally the no-self or the not-self, is not theoretical, but practical. The anatta teaching is not intended as a metaphysical statement. It's not intended as an assertion or denial of the existence or non-existence of the self in a metaphysical sense. The Buddha's not concerned with that. It's intended, we may say, as a safeguard to the possibility of treading the path. Because if there is in us any element which is fixed and unchanging and permanent, then no growth, no progress, no evolution is possible. So the Buddha pointed out that all that we experience as the self, all that we call the self, all that we know as the self, is in a state of constant flux and change. And this is what he meant by anatta. So in this way, the teaching of anatta is intended as a safeguard to the possibility of treading the path, which means changing oneself, changing oneself in a forward, in an upward direction. And the same holds good, we may say, of our own current distinction between individuality, true or false. This too is intended as a solution of a practical problem, intended to help us fulfill the process of the higher evolution of man, the higher evolution of the individual.